Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 through chapter 11, verse 2. The Reverend John Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today the Church commemorates St. Lucia of Syracuse, virgin and martyr. Martyr, I dare say, is the easier to understand, surprisingly and sadly. A chaste youth has become harder for us to envision than dying a horrific death. It's worth taking this opportunity, then, to better understand the biblical vocation of virginity. First, do not make the mistake of equating chastity with celibacy. Celibacy means to live without marriage and therefore without intimacy. A virgin is one example of a celibate person. But true and God-pleasing chastity encompasses three ways of life. First, it is chaste to avoid all lusts, pollution, and sex outside of marriage, which are forbidden by God. Second, it is chaste to be married and live conjugally with your husband or wife, because God has expressly ordained this and blessed and sanctified marriage. And third, it is chaste for those who have the gift of continence to live celibately without marriage. Not only virginity, but also marriage, then, is chaste. Marriage has God's command and approval in the whole Bible, including the words of Saints Peter, Saints Paul, and Christ himself. As Hebrews says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and adulterous. You see, the opposite of chastity isn't marriage. The opposite of chastity is immorality. God forbid it. Okay, but now, what about virginity itself? It is a vocation that is given to everyone, at least for a time. To be a virgin and to treasure that status is characterized by trust and wisdom. It is to trust that God has not called us to impurity, but called us in holiness. It is to confess that we are not, in fact, as the world tells us, wild animals. A virgin believes the Lord's word that sexual immorality degrades and harms all people involved, both in spirit and in body. Whatever it is that a virgin is missing out on, certainly they will not get it by substituting an occasional experience or a provisional relationship for the lifelong commitment of God's gift of holy marriage. It is possible, and in fact it is far better, to learn this wisdom by faith rather than by tragic experience. But virginity is not only a temporary lack, and its value does not consist in giving it up. From Jesus' teaching in Matthew 19 about marriage and against divorce, the disciples draw an implication that the celibate life is better. It would be better not to marry, they say. And to this, Jesus responds with more than a yes. He says, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. St. Paul speaks similarly. He says, Each has his own gift from God. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. If they cannot exercise self-control, then they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. These passages show that continence is a unique gift from God, that it is not given, finally, to everyone. For many, marriage is not only a blessing, a gift, an institution of creation from before the fall, it's also a remedy for sin after the fall. Even so, we, dear Christians, cannot forget or deny that God does give some this gift of continence. There are Christians who are capable of living their whole lives without burning for the gifts of marriage, whether that be intimacy or companionship or children. They have this calling to be a virgin. And that is not a lack or an insufficiency in them. In fact, the church honors them even more highly for it. Such a person may do just as Jesus says. They may receive this, say. And we in turn must believe the apostle's word: he who marries does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do better. Saint Lucia is remembered today as such a virgin. She did not give in to the pleasures of this world, a world just as debauched in her time as it is in ours. She was faithful to Christ with her body before her engagement, which is an example for every young girl. Then, faced with the prospect of being compelled to forcibly be yoked to a pagan and to abandon her faith, Lucia found that she was also able to receive and use the gift of continence. One more thing, and that is today's epistle. Paul speaks in it not of a virginity in marriage of the body, but of the spiritual image of marriage. He says, I want to present you, not only Lucia, but he means all of us, the church. I want to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. At the prospect of marriage to an unbelieving husband, Lucia said, no, then I will have no husband, and I will wait instead with the whole church for the true bridegroom to come and be satisfied in him. She meant that she would be faithful unto death and that she wouldn't give in to the world's expectations or pressures. This is the very thing that St. Paul means also when he says in today's reading, I have betrothed you, the church, to one husband as a pure virgin to Christ. Dear saints, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let nothing come between you and Christ. Whether in virginity or in matrimony, live now in chastity. Neither marriage nor celibacy, but the blood of the Son of God, is the one and the only propitiation and perfect satisfaction for our sins. Neither celibacy nor by marriage do believers receive the remission of sins, life, and salvation, but by faith in the name of Christ who died for our sins and was raised for our justification. He has shown himself to be the true bridegroom of the church, giving everything up for her, giving everything up for us. What indeed then do we lack if we have him? God grant us faithfulness to Christ in body and in soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.